This weekend is so special to me. I remember when I was at school, I did all the UNISA grades in piano, but I always just wanted to worship God, you know. So whenever I took a break from my studies at school, I would just play. I mean, there were only a few worship songs I knew at that stage. I didn't know all these fancy songs we sing nowadays, but, you know, I just, whenever I took a break, that was my break, you know, just to sit at the piano and with a few chords I know at that stage, just to worship Lord. That was for me, you know, I could relax. And I enjoyed my classical season, but I've always just wanted to worship God, and this is so special for me. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Otherwise, you know, it's only me and Andre and our boy. It wouldn't have been the same. So thank you. I'm going to talk about worship that is pure. I know Andre focused very much on praise. In my sessions, I'm going to focus a bit more on worship. I'm going to focus on worship that is pure. And there's something about purity that is so special and that is so fresh, you know. In the days that we live in, purity is scarce. It's almost like a, you know, something you would worship is pure. And my first scripture I wanna take you to is Mark 12 verse 30. It's so well known, but I wanna highlight something for you this morning. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Have you ever wondered why Jesus would have said, you know, there's four things: heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he specifically mentioned heart first. Have you ever wondered about that? You know, nothing in the Bible is coincidence, that I've really discovered. And, you know, this, I believe, you know, there could have been many reasons why I mentioned heart first, but I believe there was a specific purpose in the fact that we need to love God first and foremost with our hearts, and then our mind, soul, and strength. Because our hearts, I'm going to explain to you now, but, you know, in the one hand, the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked in Jeremiah 17. So our natural tendency is not to be good. Our hearts are desperately wicked, the Bible says. Our natural tendency is rather to go for things in the world or for pleasure. It's not necessarily to follow God. And, you know, I believe the devil wants to steal our hearts because it's something so precious. It's something that connects us to God in a very unique way. And I believe that is one of the reasons why Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, first and foremost." So I want to ask you a question. How many of you have something valuable in your home or your house or your room? Anything valuable that you, for example, would give up for insurance? Anyone? Anyone? Your cars? Are your cars insurance? I want you to think about maybe your most precious possession. Okay? Most precious earthly possession. I want you to think about that. Okay, let's take a car, for example. Okay, most of us can identify with that. If your car is valuable to you, or your sunglasses, or your cell phone, or whatever, you're not going to park it outside in the street, leave all the doors open, put your cell phone, your nice Oakley's sunglasses on the front seat, leave it there for anyone to take. Who's going to do that? Anyone? We're not going to do that. Why not? Why are we not going to do that? Because, exactly, it's valuable. It's important, or not important, it's valuable to us. And, you know, if something is valuable, you put it in a safe place, you maintain it. If it's broken, you're going to fix it as soon as possible. You're going to probably insure it, you know. If it's really, really something valuable, it's going to be on the list of San Lamo Metropolitan, whoever is your insurers, we're going to look after it. You know, and we're not just going to allow any thief to come and steal what is precious to us. We're going to protect it with everything in us. And I want you now to think in that context. Think about your heart. The Bible says we need to guard our hearts. And it's a little bit abstract. For me, it's a little bit abstract. I mean, how do you guard your heart? Where is your heart after all? And what is your heart? And how do you guard it? But, you know, I believe God showed me, you know, that in the same way that you'll protect something that is really valuable to you, we need to guard our hearts. We need to protect our hearts. And that means, to guard your heart means to value and to protect your mind, your emotions, and your will. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? I believe, you know, to guard your heart doesn't mean that you're never going to get hurt, you're never going to get offended, you're never going to get angry. That's not guarding your heart, you know. There will be stages in our lives where we need to forgive, where we get hurt, where we go through a time of disappointment. You can't necessarily protect your heart from that. But by guarding your heart, I believe, you deal with those kind of things when it comes across your path. You deal with it when? Immediately. Thanks, David. You deal with it immediately. You know what happened to me and Andre the other day? We had our first flat tire ever in our lives. Can you believe it? It was my first. Well, Andre drove, so maybe it's his flat tire, but it was our first flat tire. I've never had a flat tire my whole life. Can you believe it? And Andre's never had one either. And do you want to know where? In Bonza Bay Road. It was so funny. We drove over a piece of wood. And we both heard this sound. You know, but when Andre's driving, I just relax. I mean, I notice nothing. You know, I just sit back and relax. But then after a few, maybe 100 or 200 meters, we had this very funny sound. And he pulled off, and the one tire was completely flat. You know, and there was Andre with a, you know, we don't even know where everything is in the car. Luckily, two of the taxi, it was just close to the taxi, all the taxi drivers. It's amazing. I was so blessed by two of them just came immediately. I mean, they changed their tire within 5 minutes. I'm telling you, they know exactly what they're doing. But why do I tell the story? Not to get you distracted. Say, for example, we didn't change the tire right there. Do you think it would have been wise, you know, just to leave it, drive home with that flat tire, go to church on Sunday, drive up the Lavender Blue? I mean, that's stupid, eh? I mean, you need to fix it immediately. Otherwise, it's going to do more damage to your car. You all agree? Now, in the same way, if your heart gets hurt, you need to forgive. You're disappointed. Somebody said something or whatever. I mean, think about some time in your life where you really felt that your heart is broken, that you feel almost like a physical pain inside. You know, if you don't fix it immediately, it's going to get more and more, there's going to be more and more damage to your heart and to your whole being. And the amazing thing is we don't have to fix in ourselves. You know, I kind of see it as our hearts are insured in heaven, you know, like your car at Santam or Old Mutual or wherever, Auto in general. Our hearts are insured in heaven. And the moment your heart gets broken, you can say to God, Lord, I need insurance. I need a down payment for my heart. It's insured in heaven. God, I need resources now to come and fix my heart, you know, and God is so faithful. And I'm telling you, the quicker you go onto that thing, whatever it is, the quicker God can come. You know, God is the insurer of the universe. Imagine that. Our hearts are insured by an insurance company called Jesus.com. I mean, there are funds that can fix a heart that is so broken. You maybe have no idea, you know, how much money this is going to cost to fix this piece of your heart, because it feels to you nothing will be able to fix it. And God says, I have everything that is needed to fix your heart. You know, and this is so precious to me. And I want you to grasp that before I'm going to talk about the next portion, you know, of purity in worship. Because if our hearts are broken, you're going to struggle to connect with the Lord. And especially if it's broken towards God. You know, sometimes we have a disappointment in our heart towards the Lord. That's even harder than to connect with God. You know, you're disappointed because God maybe didn't come through for you. You really trusted Him and things didn't work out the way that you thought it's going to work out. And you really are actually disappointed in God. You're offended with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, you know, after my session, Elisna and I are going to do the worship and we're just going to see where God leads us. But I really want to encourage you, if you're sitting with a heart of unforgiveness, and I really feel God wants us to forgive this weekend. Maybe you need to forgive a family member. Maybe you need to forgive your boss. Or maybe you need to forgive yourself. Something that happens. We need to get rid. We need to say, God, fix my heart. Fix my heart. Because a pure heart, a whole heart, can worship the Lord without holding back. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing to come to a place where there's nothing in your heart that's holding you back to worship God. It's awesome. And, you know, I don't want you to go and look for things that isn't there. Please. You know, sometimes you feel there must be something in my heart that's wrong, so I'm going to look and look and look. You know, the Holy Spirit comes and he highlights something. And that is all we need to respond to. Okay, so the next one that links to that is the whole thing about purity. You see, if we're going to guard our hearts, we'll also protect the purity of our hearts. If we guard our hearts, it will also protect our purity. So why do you think purity is important? Anyone? Okay. Anyone else? Why does the Bible say that we need, why should we be pure? Because God is pure. Okay. But why do we want to be pure? God is pure. Yes. Did you all hear what Johan said? Say it over the microphone. It's fine.
I can't remember the full scripture, but God says, give us... No, it was in Psalms, I think. Okay, give us clean hands, give us a pure heart, let us not... So, and then basically we can enter into His presence. So that's more the reason, I think, behind it.
You know, there's a scripture in Matthew. There's a scripture in Matthew that says, the pure in heart will see God. You know, and for me, that is such an inspiration. Because I would really like to see God. I would really like to see something about God because I know it will change me. I know if I'm in the presence of God, like Johan just said, then it will change me. You know, it will give me a glimpse of who God is. And it's not necessarily a physical picture of who God is. I believe it's something in our spirit that will a glimpse of who God is, that we'll see when our hearts are pure. So why do you think we want to see God? Why? Maybe there's different reasons, eh? You know what? I think there could be reasons for each one of us why we would like to see God. But, you know, for me, you know, I would really like to become more like God so that my life can make an impact. You know, Andre and I speak about it often, just about marriages, you know. There's even Christian marriages that struggles. And we, you know, I would just like to, in all areas of my life, have an impact on a world that is suffering, you know. God, Jesus says, I've come to give you abundant life. The devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And we see that all over the world, you know, that destruction. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life in abundance. But I want my life, I want to be pure so that I can see God, so that I can become more like Him, so that my life can make a difference, you know. And I want to motivate you, because sometimes purity in itself, you know, I want to be pure. We must have a reason behind that, you know. Our lives must be a testimony. Our lives must bring hope. This is the best way I can almost describe it. I want my life to bring hope to people who are hopeless. And I want you to, if I can just leave that with you this morning, you know, that you have a desire for your life to bring hope to other people. And in order to do that, you'll see God with all of your heart. Because your life is going to make a difference. In Mark 7, verse 20 to 23, it says, it was also Jesus speaking. He said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, you know, all those horrible things, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So I want to talk about three things quickly, you know, just that I believe God has laid in my heart. I mean, there's many things that can defile us, but there's three things I just want to talk about that I feel God wants us specifically as a church to be careful for and to guard against. Maybe you think, what has this got to do with worship now? I'm going to pull everything together at the end, so don't be worried, okay? But worship is pure. You know, if we want to worship God, we need to come to Him with a pure heart. And purity is not perfection. So please don't get nervous. You know, you don't want to know all my sins and all my faults, because there's many, you know. But as long as we have a desire to be pure and a desire to cut out things in our lives that keep us from being pure, this is all that God wants. We bring to Him what we have. Okay, it's not perfection. We're never going to be perfect. We're going to sin and make mistakes, and we would need to repent and see God's face until Jesus comes back. All right, we grow closer to Him, so hopefully we sin less and we make less mistakes, but we are going to make mistakes. All right, so please don't feel condemned. Don't feel that you need to be perfect. I want to inspire you. All right. The first thing I want to talk about is blasphemy or swearing or anything that comes out of your mouth, language that is not good. You know, whenever Andre and I wants to watch a movie, my first thing I ask is, what is the age restriction for language specifically? Obviously, sex you need to check as well. I'll come to that. But language, for me, you know, when I hear them using Jesus' name or God's name in vain, it's like a knife in my heart. You know, I grew up in a house where there was very little swearing. My parents didn't really swear. So I come from a background where it wasn't really part of my life. So, which helped a lot in a sense that I wasn't exposed to a lot of swearing when I was a child. But, you know, the other day I was driving with a guy to a meeting, and his radio wasn't Radio 5, And there, I don't know if it's the guy who normally talks on Radio 5 because I don't listen to Radio 5, but he had this whole argument about swearing and how childish people are who are offended by swearing. You know, he had this whole thing about when you're offended by swearing and when you don't like it, you are actually very childish and you must grow up and, you know, that kind of argument. And I was just so upset, you know, by that because I realized this is a radio station so many people listen to. And now this guy is justifying this kind of behavior, you know. And I often think, you know, for me, forget about Christian or not Christian or religion or anything. For me, it's often just, you know, it's just a personal thing, but it's just bad manners or very unprofessional, you know, especially, I mean, I've worked with many people who swear, and you need to deal with that in the workplace, and there's many ways, you know. You can deal with it in a wrong way. You can deal with it maybe in a better way. But I'm not saying that we can't befriend people who swear, okay? We need to reach out. Jesus wasn't scared to visit people who was in the world, who didn't know God at that stage, okay? That is not the point I'm making. We befriend people, we don't judge them, but what I want to talk about is what you allow in your home and in your heart and in your mind. Are you allowing movies with age restriction of, you know, language 30 nowadays is terrible. For me, I mean, some people handle it better. And I'm going to explain to you now why if you are not, if it doesn't bother you, why it might not bother you. I'm going to explain to you now. But it's something we need to protect, you know, our homes, our hearts. We need to protect with all of our hearts because it is, Jesus says it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out of man that defiles a man. So I want to encourage you to, you know, to be aggressive over that area of your life, especially also if you have children. You know, I think our children is going to be exposed to so many more things nowadays than when I was a child or when all of us were in school. We need to teach them what is right and what is wrong because they will hear things that is gonna influence their hearts. You know, if you're gonna wake up in the morning, if you set your alarm for 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, let's make it 5 o'clock. At what time do you guys get up in the morning? 6. Okay, let's make it 6, all right? It's a general time. You set your alarm for 6, but you go for the snooze button every morning. Every morning. You know, so it becomes 10 past 6, becomes 20 past 6, and then at 6:30 you realize you better need to get up now. You know what? If you're going to ignore your alarm long enough, maybe for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're probably not even going to hear it the first time anymore. You won't need your snooze button anymore because you won't wake up. Not all people, but I mean, I know about people who tell me, Sonika, I don't wake up from my alarm. Sorry. Say, for example, I'm a person who's late for something. Sorry, I didn't hear my alarm. Again, it can happen once or twice. But you know what? If you're going to ignore your alarm every morning, it's not going to wake you up anymore. Now, in the same way, if we're going to ignore our conscience all the time, it's not going to get your attention anymore, okay? So if you're going to watch a movie with a 13 language age restriction, even 10 nowadays, it's terrible. You know, on DSTV, there's some other thing. You can switch off all the swear words. That's wonderful. But I've discovered what they think are swear words, what I think is not always the same. I would have cut out even more, but that helps a bit. But if you're going to ignore your conscience, when your conscience tells you this is not a good movie, and you ignore it the second time, you ignore it the 10th time, your conscience is not going to back you anymore, you know? So my heart is to see this weekend for our hearts and our conscience to become alive again towards God. Amen. Is this hard? Is this hard for you to hear this? That you shouldn't watch a movie with a restriction of 13 language. I think it's hard for some people, especially if you like movies. But I want to encourage you to check with the Lord. Check with God. You know, whenever you're going to expose yourself to something like that, check with the Lord. In sexual purity, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but you commit sexual immorality sins against his own body. You know what? Sexual purity is more important than anyone could ever imagine. And I want to encourage you. I mean, God restores people. He restores, He heals, He makes whole. So if you've ever been through anything, you know, where you feel that your sexual purity is not what it maybe was 10 years ago, you know, God is able to fix it. It's like I say, our hearts are insured in heaven. Our lives are insured by the Creator of the universe. God can restore, but you don't want to be restored, you know, if it's not necessary. You don't want to come to a place where that portion of your life is so broken, where you need to go through a time of restoration, because sometimes it takes time. But I want to encourage you, God restores and He heals. But I want to encourage you to protect your sexual purity with everything that you have. I mean, you guys are young, and you know what? The most amazing thing is to get married and to enter into a marriage relationship pure. It is so special, you know? You just get a head start with your marriage. So I want to encourage you, you know, to fight for that with all of your heart. And it's never too late to start fighting for it again. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not, no matter what you've done in the past, it's never too late to just start fighting for it again. To say, Lord, from today, I'm going to protect my sexual purity with everything I have. I'm going to wait for the right person, and I'm going to stay pure until I get married. And it's amazing. So I just want to encourage you with that. And then the last one I just want to talk about, before I'm going to bring some good news, okay? Just hold on to your seats. There's going to be some good news as well. Pride. James 4 verse 6 says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know, and you can be pure, you can be holy, you can be, your life can be so blessed in all areas, but there could be pride in your heart. And pride is so dangerous because God says He will resist the proud. Okay, so when you draw near to God, He's going to resist you. God says, I give grace to the humble, but I resist the proud. So, unless you come to a point where you say, God, I repent. Lord, my heart isn't right. There's pride. There's something in my heart that thinks I'm better than other people, that puts me in a place where, you know, pride is sometimes so subtle, sometimes a blind spot in many of our lives. And I believe all of us go through stages of pride in our lives. And we need to check ourselves regularly. You don't want to be resisted by God. You want to get grace. You want to receive grace from Him. Purity is not perfection, people. So even if you struggle with all these things that I mentioned now, you know, God is looking for what we have to give. We bring to Him what we have, and He works with that. Okay, now the good news. Okay, you can smile now again. Good news. If whatever comes out of us that is bad, if that is going to defile us, the opposite must also be true. Then if anything good comes out of our mouth, that will edify, purify, cleanse. Are you all with me? Because this is one of the most important points of my whole session. If bad things, if you're going to swear and you feel defiled in a way, that means that if you're going to speak good things, it's going to edify, it's going to build up your heart, it's going to cleanse. And that is why worship, okay, is my connection now. That is why worshiping God is so special. Because when you worship God and you bring glory to His name, it changes you. It cleans your heart. It purifies your heart. It heals your heart. It's something positive that happens inside of you. You can't always explain it. You can't always figure it out. But something happens when you worship God with, not only with your lips, okay, with your heart, with everything inside of you, even if it's like a 2% that you have to give. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be spiritual on a certain level. You bring to God whatever you have, and He can work with that. And He can change all these things, all these negative things in our hearts. He can turn it around because there's something good that comes out of us that glorifies God, and He changes us. Are you all with me? Okay, because this is so important, because we worship God, yes, because He says, I am looking for worshipers. Will worship me in spirit and in truth. But I also believe, you know, in a time of worship, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And joy is our strength. And there's things that we find in the presence of God when we worship Him that we can't remain the same. But it's not hard work. It's not as if, oh, I need to change. I need to change. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm such a bad person. And you know, it's not something you can do. That is why worship is so powerful. You come as you are. You worship God with what you have. And He does the powerful work inside of us. And therefore, I want to explain to you something now that maybe most of you are familiar with. And we've done that on the camp, and we've done that many times in church. But I want to explain to you the whole thing about singing a new song unto the Lord, or singing in the Spirit. You know, sometimes there's no words on the screen on a Sunday. We've done a song, and now all of a sudden there's no words on the screen. But some people are still singing, and you know, and you think maybe their laptop operator is not focusing, you know, what's happening, what, and you think, so what am I, so I'm supposed to do now, you know, now you look around, what's happening, you know, that is a time where we all bring a song to the Lord that is spontaneous, and it's sometimes very uncomfortable if you're not, you're not familiar with it, so now all of a sudden you need to sing a song you've never sung before. And it's like chaos. Everybody's singing their own words. And you know, what on earth is happening? But you know what? When you're in a relationship with anyone, say, especially in a marriage relationship, I'm going to talk about that more tomorrow, but marriage is God's best picture that He could have given us of Him and His bride. You're not always going to say the same things to your husband. Or he's not always going to say the same things to you. Sometimes he's just going to be new and fresh and, you know, spontaneous. And it's exactly the same with the Lord. You know, sometimes we're just going to sing something that you want to sing. I love you, I love you, I love you. Or, God, you are amazing, you are wonderful, you're awesome. We exalt you. And, you know, Nicolette will sing, Jesus, you're my Savior, you're my peace. Sandra will sing something else. You know, and for God, this is so special because all of us bring our own song to the Lord in with our understanding, okay? That is when we sing with our understanding. When we sing in the Spirit, that is a song that we sing with a spiritual language, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you must come to this perspective seminar on Sunday, okay, next week. There we have a whole session and how to pray in the Spirit. What is it? You know, because that's also something some people are not familiar with. But you can either sing with your understanding a new song, so there's no words on the screen. Everybody's singing his own thing. Or you can sing in the Spirit. That's what I did last night. You have a spiritual language, and then you do the same thing. And in that specific situation, no interpretation is necessary. Okay? You can go and read in the Bible. If somebody brings a word in tongues, then it must be interpreted. Okay? But if it's just a song, or if everybody just sings together in the Spirit or pray together in the Spirit, no interpretation is necessary. Okay, I can't go into that now. But if you have questions, ask me, ask my husband. You can basically ask many people. They would be able to explain to you. But if you haven't tasted that, you wouldn't have a craving for it. Okay? But if you've tasted that before, you will crave that something between you and God, because it's something so special. You can't figure it out with your mind. There's no recipe. You see, God, every time is different. But you'll crave for it. And I wanna give you a practical example now, but I need three volunteers. Three people. I want you to taste something. It will be good. Okay? Okay, David, come. Two other people. You need to close your eyes and then you need to guess what it is. It will be good. Okay? Thank you, Kuva. One. Okay. I'm going to show you what it is. All right? It's at the moment actually my and Andre's favorite something. Favorite something. I almost said it. Okay, so I'm going to... Please close your eyes, the three of you. I'm going to show you what it is, and then I'm going to give each of them something to taste, and then they need to guess what it is. Okay. Okay. Okay, Johan is going to give it to you. One each. Yeah, one each. And take a couple of minutes to guess what it is, okay? Okay, as soon as you think you know, you can whisper in Johan's ear, because otherwise you're going to give it away. Okay, you can open your eyes. You can go sit down. Okay, now, first of all, was it nice? Did it taste nice? Okay. Unfortunately, all three of you were wrong. I'll show you now what it is, and then you can send it around and each have one. It's not whispers. It's better than whispers. This is our favorite chocolate at the moment. Okay, the guys who volunteered can have another one. Give Ethan one as well. So please all take one and taste and go and support Woolies, because this is the best. So what is my point, people? What is my point? This is very important now that you get this. If you've never tasted Woolies Chuckles before, you've never tasted it in your life. Who of you have never tasted Woolies Chuckles? Okay, there's a couple of you. Okay, great, great. If you've never tasted it before, you don't know what it tastes like. Okay, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted with the chuckles now. Okay, send it around fast. Fast, fast, fast. And the sound man can get two. I hope there's enough. Now, I counted them beforehand, there will be enough. I was afraid that there wouldn't be enough. Okay, listen very carefully now. If you've never tasted anything before, something specific, you can't have a craving for it. You don't know what it tastes like. Okay? It's like Vian. He's never tasted chocolates before. I'm going to keep it like that for as long as I can. But if you've never tasted Willy's Shackles before, you're not going to go and necessarily buy it. You don't know what it tastes like. Now, in the same way, if you've never tasted singing a new song to God or singing in the Spirit, you won't go and crave for that or look for it because you don't know what it's all about. But once you've experienced that, once you've entered into a time of worship or praise where it's another dimension, it's another level, it's not just another song, there's a connection between you and God, you can't figure it out. You just know that there's something that is so unique, so special, and you want more of it. You know, like those chuckles. You just, when you've had one, it's not enough. I'm so sorry. I should have bought like 10 packets. It's a sin to only give you one. I'm so sorry. But if you had one, you want more. And, you know, this is, I want you to always remember this, because if you've tasted God, I want you to seek and look for that until you find that in worship. And in the session Elisna and I are going to do, we're going to, you know, just practice that. Okay. We're going to do maybe one song with our understanding and then just see. We've done that the weekend already, but I want all of you to try it. Okay, maybe you've never done it before. It's like an unfamiliar ground. I mean, how many of you have ever bungee jumped? Only a few. Okay? Maybe this is for you, like bungee jumping. It can't be as scary. But it's something, it's actually a little bit scary for you. It's an unfamiliar territory. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to expect. You don't know, you feel a bit uncomfortable. But you know what? I want to encourage you, when we sing and there's no words on the screen, just try it. You know, these three people, you know, they must have had a little bit of guts. You know, they didn't know what we were putting in their mouths, even though I said it's going to taste nice. It takes a bit of guts, you know. It could have been an olive. Imagine. But it takes a little bit of guts to say, Lord, I've never before sung a new song to you, but I want to. Give me the words. And I'm telling you, God's going to do that. And you're going to experience something with the Lord that is so special. Maybe you've done it 20 million times before. But I want you to seek for a fresh connection between you and the Lord. I just want to give you a few scriptures. Then I'm going to end off. Psalm 33, verse 3. Just to show you that it's actually in the Bible. All right? It says, sing to him a new song. All right? It's in the Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 19. The Apostle Paul speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15, it says also the Apostle Paul speaking. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. Both. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. It's amazing. It's such a wonderful scripture, you know. What is the conclusion? We do both. Wonderful. And, you know, it's almost to me like a door through which I enter. It's like a door. When I sing in the Spirit or when I sing a new song to God, I walk through a door. Okay? This is the door. I walk through a door, and on this side of the door, I experience closeness to God. I experience intimacy. I experience something. You know, I'm going to talk about intimacy tomorrow because it's not so easily defined. It's not so easily defined. You can't really put a recipe or a definition to that. But I want to dare you, you know, to walk through this door by singing a new song to God or singing in the Spirit and just see what it's like. It's amazing. You know, perfection, I just want to end off with this again. Perfection isn't necessary. You don't have to be at a certain spiritual level to do this or to experience God's presence. You don't have to be all sorted out. You know, it's like this myth where people say you can only go into a relationship when you are whole. You're a whole person. You know, I know many people who's got many issues and they are in a relationship or they're happily married. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with our issues, okay? This is exactly what I'm, in a sense, talking about. We need to deal with things in our hearts. But we can't change ourselves, people. I mean, God comes, He comes and changes us. We don't have to be perfect. I remember when Andre and I got married, after about 6 months, he said to me, "Sonika," I think I've told the story before, so I apologize for those if you've heard it. He said to me, "You're trying too hard to be the perfect wife." Thank you. Thanks for that. You know, yes, I am trying to be the perfect wife. You know, at that stage, I was like keeping all the balls in the air and, you know, really trying to be the perfect wife, which I just couldn't keep on doing. You know, my whole life was, in a sense, falling apart, but I'm not trying to do everything perfect. So I was miserable, I was tired, I was emotional and crying, and I just couldn't cope. So now I'm sitting, you know, he just left me with that statement. Okay, thank you, and what now? So I said to God, "Lord, how do I reverse now this whole trying to be the perfect wife? How do I try not to try?" You know what I'm talking about? It was really an issue for me. And then God said to me, "Sonika, just let go. Just let go. Don't try to try nothing, you know. just let go and don't put so much pressure on yourself." That's basically what God said to me. He said to me, "I will do whatever is necessary. You just seek me. Just relax, you know." And I'm telling you, God did it because I realized I'm in a bad place because I was performing. I was trying my best, you know, to make this marriage work because I wanted it was like one of the most important things in my whole life, that my marriage must work, you know. And in the process, I was, in a sense, messing it up because I was trying so hard. So I wasn't fun to be with. I wasn't fun to be with because I was like this miserable person who's trying to do everything perfect. You know, and the same with God. Just be yourself, you know. Just don't put pressure on yourself. And, you know, we need to have the fear of God and the grace of God always, you know, as a mirror. We need to fear God. We need to seek purity and holiness. We need to guard our hearts. We need to do all these kind of things. But in the end, it's God and God alone who changes us. And in a time of worship, I'm telling you, I've had times in worship, just all by myself at home, I just knew something in me changed. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what exactly changed. But I know it was as if God visited me. It was as if I had a coffee date with the Lord, you know, if I can explain it like that. Hello, Michal. It literally was as if I had a special date with God and He just told me the most beautiful things about myself. Really, it's like something special, you know. So I want to encourage you to try it. get yourself good worship music. Play it in the car. You know, switch off Radio 5 if you're hooked on Radio 5 or KFM. You know, there's good secular music out there. So I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to secular music. But you know what? If you want your spirit to be lifted up, even gospel music in itself is not always the best option, eh? I would recommend good praise and good worship music. And if you want recommendations, speak to Dion. Speak to Sandra. Speak to the worship guys. You know, they can recommend good worship and praise music because it changes your heart. Play it in the car. Play it in your house. Play it wherever you go. And I'm telling you, you will feel a difference. If you're used to maybe the radio, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the radio. Okay, please don't get me wrong. But we need to find a balance. It's like reading the newspaper and reading your Bible, you know? We need to find a balance. And whatever we feed ourselves, our hearts are going to be full of that. So maybe feed yourselves with just good praise and worship music for a while and see the difference in your life.